Kitchen.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. Tomas at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Patrick Wood, editor-in-chief of Technocracy News, looking at his latest, including When Logic Fails, Informed Consent Means Nothing. And then Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, with his latest and including Biden's, pardon me, alma mater discriminates. Here it is. Biden's alma mater discriminates against men except those claiming to be women. All right. Leave it to him, I'll tell you. All right. In the news, the eyes of Texas turned to the emerging water crisis yesterday evening after electrical power had been restored to nearly 2 million homes, though hundreds of thousands of residents remain in the dark. About 13 to 14 million Texans, or nearly half the state's approximately 29 million residents, are under an advisory to boil drinking water. The water crisis prompted Texas Governor Greg Abbott to ask President Biden to declare a major disaster in the state. Quote, "We need to make sure we use every tool possible to get water restored to our fellow Texans," Abbott said, according to his report. How bad energy policy led to the rolling blackouts in the freezing Lone Star State? The question is, why are millions of Americans in the nation, most energy-rich state, without power and heat for days amid extreme winter weather? The people who have fallen short with regard to power are the private power generation companies. The Texas Governor Abbott explained, "Ah, yes, blame private power companies that are regulated by the government." Well, the Republicans sound like California Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom, who lambasted private utilities for rolling blackouts during a heat wave last summer. Power grids should be able to withstand extreme weather, but in both these bellwether states, state and federal energy policies have created market distortions and reduce grid reliability. Mr. Abbott blamed his state's extensive power outages on generators freezing early last Monday morning, noting this includes the natural gas and coal generators. But frigid temperatures and icy conditions have descended on most of the country. Why couldn't Texas handle them while other states did? Well, the problem is Texas' over-reliance on wind power that has left the grid more vulnerable to bad weather. Half of the wind turbines froze last week, causing wind shares of electricity to plunge to 8% from 42%. Power prices in the wholesale market spiked, and the grid regulators last Friday warned of rolling blackouts. Natural gas and coal generators ramped up to cover the supply gap but couldn't meet the surging demand for electricity, which half of the households rely on for heating. Even as many families powered up their gas furnaces, then some gas wells and pipelines froze. In short, there wasn't sufficient baseload power from coal and nuclear support to support the grid. Baseload power is needed to stabilize grid frequency amid changes in demand and supply. When there is not enough baseload power, the grid gets unbalanced and the power sources can fail. The more the grid relies on intermittent renewables like wind and solar, the more baseload power is needed to back them up. But politicians don't care about grid reliability until the power goes out. And for three decades, politicians from both parties have pushed subsidies for renewables that have made the grid less stable. Start with the 1992 Energy Policy Act that was signed by George H.W. Bush, which created a production tax credit to boost the infant wind industry. Generators collected up to $25 per megawatt hour of power they produced, regardless of market demand. The credit was supposed to expire in 1999, but nothing lasts longer than a temporary government program. You know who said that all the time? Ronald Reagan. Nothing lasts longer than a temporary government program. Ronald Reagan. The renewable lobby found the GOP allies in windy states like Texas, Oklahoma, and Iowa. Former Enron CEO Ken Lay, who had made a big bet on wind, begged then Texas Governor George W. Bush in 1998 to lobby Congress to extend the credit for 5 years. Congress has since extended it more than a dozen times, and most recently in December. Wind producers persuaded former Governor Rick Perry to back a $5 billion network of transmission lines to connect turbines in western Texas to cities. And this enabled them to build more turbines and collect more tax credits. Because the Texas grid is often oversupplied, wind producers sometimes pay to offload their power, though they still turn a profit with the tax credits. Coal and nuclear are more strictly regulated and can't compete. Many coal plants have shut down in Texas and elsewhere, and over the last decade, about 100 gigawatts of coal power nationwide has been retired. That's enough to power 60 million homes. 60 million homes from the coal power. Now, many nuclear plants are scheduled now to shut down. Big reactors in New York, Illinois, going to shut down this year. Renewables and natural gas are expected to substitute, but Texas is showing their limitations. In the Lone Star State, bad weather has constrained the supply of gas, but government policies do the same in other states. New York Governor Cuomo, New Jersey Phil Murphy have blocked pipelines, that ring a bell, to deliver shale gas from Pennsylvania to the Northeast. Now, their pipeline blockade has driven up the cost of electricity. The average retail price of power now is about 50% higher in New Jersey and New York than in Pennsylvania. They and other governors have also poured subsidies into the wind and the solar, though neither can provide reliable power when it's frosty weather. Many states also have renewable mandates that will force more fossil fuel generators to shut down. New York has required that renewables account for 70% of the state power, and it's got to be done by 2030. And then layer on the Democratic policies at the federal level that limit fossil fuel production and distribution. And finally, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is supposed to ensure grid reliability. But under a president by the name of Barack Obama, it decided to promote renewables over reality. Democrats oppose the efforts by the Trump appointees to mitigate marked distortions caused by state renewable subsidies and mandates that jeopardize the grid. And on present trend, this week's Texas fiasco is coming soon to a cold winter or a hot summer near you. You know, it's never about science. It's always about punishing the American people. Now, if this one doesn't say you say what or something close, all right, listen to this. On his first day in office, your president, Joe Biden, killed off an estimated 52,100 American jobs. Now, you probably know about that, you know, and that's probably a record, 52,100. After his bizarre inaugural behind fences and the 20,000 military troops, Biden hobbled over to the Oval Office where he signed several, by the way, I think is about 50, executive orders, including the end of construction of the Keystone XL pipeline and the end of the construction of the Trump border wall. Now, canceling the Keystone pipeline, that cost over 11,000 construction jobs and 42,100 jobs throughout the United States during the construction process. This is according to the U.S. State Department. But let me tell you something, listener. At the same time that he's shutting down the pipeline, giving away and getting rid of 11,000 construction jobs, 42,100 other jobs, your president, Joe Biden, started promoting a pipeline project for the Taliban. I'm not making this up. Apparently, the government has brokered a meeting between the Turkmenistan government and the Taliban for a trans-Afghanistan pipeline to bring Turkmen gas across Afghanistan and Pakistan to India. You got it? If this scheme sounds familiar, it should. It was the same deal that the now special envoy, Zamali Khalilzad, sought to make with the Taliban in a couple of years before the September 11th terror attack. He was a consultant for UNICAL Corporation. Wow. You know, I sit here and I say, they're going to impeach somebody for maybe he said the word fight, 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 which you guys say all the time. And here Joe Biden closes down the Keystone Pipeline. I mean, it was almost, what, 80, 90% complete? And then a few days later, he brokers this Turkmenistan government and the Taliban for a pipeline. It's taking gas across Afghanistan and Pakistan all the way to India. Now, here's another way to save money if you're ready for this one, especially if you're a teacher, all right? The Los Angeles Unified School District Board of Education approved a plan this week to cut one-third of its police budget. Now, the money is going to be diverted to fund a new program under the new Black Student Achievement Plan, all right? The board voted to cut 133 police officers from protecting the Los Angeles schools and from the police department. And they're going to have these police officers, they will call them, and they're climate coaches. That's the title, climate coaches. According to the plan, these climate coaches are trained to implement positive school culture and climate, use de-escalation strategies to resolve conflict, understand and address implicit bias, eliminate racial disproportionately in the school discipline practices. Now, these cuts affect 70 sworn police officers. These were the 70 officers that had the job to protect the schools and the children and the teachers. They also had 62 non-sworn officers. Now, I'll tell you one thing, the budget on that was $77.5 million. But the L.A. school district now, with these climate coaches, they're only going to spend $52.5 million. $52.5 million. Wow. Whoever's making these decisions, the bottom line is you need to go back to school. That's just my opinion. All right, Patrick Wood, he's editor-in-chief of Technocracy News, coming up next.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling, the complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as 1 day. And for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as 1 day. Large or small bathrooms, if you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as 1 day. And if you call right now, you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
855-525-7454. 855-525-7454. That's 855-525-7454.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here. Let me tell you about my guest, Mr. Patrick Wood, W-O-O-D. He is editor-in-chief of Technocracy News. Patrick is also the leading and critical expert on sustainable development, green economy, Agenda 21, 2030, Agenda and Historic Technocracy. He is the author of Technocracy, the Hard Road to World Order. He also wrote Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. That was in 2015. He is the Executive Director of Citizens for Free Speech. That's CFFS, an independent, nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. And Citizens for Free Speech was established to promote and enable the practical exercise of free speech in communities across America. That's what they're trying to do, give them free speech in communities, everywhere. Yes. Getting a little carried away there. All right. Hey, Patrick, how are you?
Hey, Chuck. Good, thank you.
Boy, you know, it's pretty bad when you think about it that you do need to have some executive director simply with an organization for citizens for free speech. I mean, God, we got the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all this other stuff. Seems like something's not working. We'll dig into that a little bit more. I wanted to make sure that we got this article in. When logic fails, informed consent means nothing. Filed not too long ago, and you bring up the Nuremberg Code, 1947, and that gave the conditions of informed consent, sort of, didn't it?
Well, more than sort of, pretty pointed, actually, and The Nuremberg Code was the impetus for the embedding of informed consent into law all across the world, including the United States. Every state has a statute that's very similar. And it just shows clearly what, you know, what the requirements of informed consent are. And you have to remember that that prior to, just prior to the Nuremberg trials, you had the atrocious experiments that were taking place in Nazi Germany. They were so grotesque that it horrified the world. And they said, never again are we going to allow this. If you're going to do anything experimental on somebody, you have to give them the opportunity to give their informed consent. And so this is pretty striking. But right now in the world today, we have no such informed consent. If there was any stories on the other side to critique what's going on with the vaccines and with masks and everything else, why those discussions are simply censored, dropped off of Google and YouTube and Twitter. And nobody really has the right now or the ability to give informed consent.
You know, it seems like every day or every other day, Patrick, you hear certain areas throughout the United States getting a little bit more strict about, well, now we're gonna give you a citation. If you get three of these for not wearing a mask, then we got to do something about it. I'm making that up, you know. Some of them right now, it's just, you don't wear a mask, we have the authority right now to arrest you. You know, and it was Benjamin Franklin, it's the only quote I keep in front of me, who said in 1775, "They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." Yeah, he was a wise man. He's amazing. Yeah. He didn't even have a computer. You kind of wonder how he come up with all that stuff, huh?
Well, yeah. He had a pen and a scroll, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the health officials tell us don't be discouraged by the vaccine side effects, that we should be vaccinated in spite of them. I just saw where two more people did it yesterday, I think it was, passed on a couple of days later. You know, and who knows? Maybe they went in there because they felt that they had an illness. I mean, you don't know, but it's something they're pushing that hard, and the people behind it, that's where you really start getting suspicious about it, and you can't blame America for being that way. I'll tell you what, we're going to get more into this. When logic fails, informed consent means nothing. Patrick Wood, Editor-in-Chief, Technocracy News, citizensforfreespeech.org, and the other website is technocracy.news. That's technocracy, technocracy, .news. We'll be right back.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
In recent years, evangelical Christians have been among the strongest supporters of the State of Israel, and now there's a controversial new documentary that takes a harsh look at that phenomenon. It's called Till Kingdom Come, available for rent on multiple streaming services.
Jerusalem is where Messiah will come and establish a kingdom that will never end.
We don't believe that Palestine is a place on God's map.
That's not evangelicalism. That's fact of history.
It's intriguing but infuriating to watch this film because it is so hopelessly one-sided. Taking a relentlessly cynical view of both the Christian and Jewish conservatives it profiles. Yes, some of the personalities come across vividly, but the lack of perspective makes Till Kingdom Come profoundly misleading. Not officially rated, but clearly not appropriate for kids. Till Kingdom Come earns only 1.5 stars.
This feature brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder and CRN. Hey, by the way, program note, when next we meet, my guest, Kimberly Dvorak, Senior Foreign Policy Advisor for the Committee for Responsible Foreign Policy, with her latest. And then, let's see, Leo Homan, author of Stealth Invasion. We're going to talk about Globalists, America's Last Agenda, focused on crushing the middle class, and here's how to stop it. And right now I have Patrick Wood, Editor-in-Chief of Technocracy News and author of Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, discussing when logic fails and informed consent means nothing. You know, and when you think about, well, do I want the shot? Do I don't want the shot? You talk about in Northeast Ohio, Fairness Local School District, the teachers lined up for their first round of COVID-19 injections. And so many teachers had adverse reactions of the shots that they had to cancel all the classes. And another one down here lower says, sometimes we see it after the first dose, sometimes after the second. And a quote here, I had my second dose last week and had 103 fever the next day. Although I'd much rather have 103 fever for 24 hours than COVID for 19 weeks. Well, making a good excuse, huh?
Well, this is absolutely outrageous, Chuck. Trying to compare having the real COVID, mm-hmm, and simply, having that justify one day of 103 fever. This is bodily injury. This is vaccine injury. And it's true that many vaccines in the past have spurred different types of, you know, little swelling or redness or something like that. The reactions people are having to this are very serious, and they should not be just overlooked. But I'll tell you, as the article, as this article goes on, what was really just a mind blower is that the county health officials actually said that it's good to have vaccine injuries because it proves that the vaccine is working.
Yeah.
This is just absolute nonsense. And yet people are sucked into this, like, well, okay, I guess I better just suck it up and take it and be happy that I don't fall over dead.
Hey, let me tell you something, Patrick. Because I've come down with pneumonia more times than I should, I do take the flu shot, and I've been doing it for a long time. And they never say, well, chances are now you're gonna have a high temperature. They tell you that if you take the new one they started, the shingles shot, I think that just started. I'd never had a shingle shot, you know, as far as I know. But now all of a sudden they're pushing that too, you know. And they just tell you, well, the needle hurts a little bit on this one. And it didn't. So then I'm thinking, maybe it didn't work. I don't know. Maybe they didn't have enough juice in there. Somebody's making a lot of money, though, that's for sure.
Well, it's true. On a global basis, the vaccine companies are getting absolutely rich. And we have to remember, too, these vaccines are not approved by anybody. The FDA has not approved these vaccines. And what you have are experimental drugs. This is exactly why the Nuremberg Code was written in the first place, that basically forbid the use of experimental drugs on the uninformed. And now we have a whole nation that's going to get over 300 million vaccines. Actually, really not vaccines, they're gene therapy shots.
Uh-huh.
But they're going to get these shots, and there's no test. The normal testing has not been done. Nobody knows what the effect will be 3 months, right, 6 months, a year down the road.
You know, now that's the thing. You don't know 2 or 3 months down the road, like Patrick just said. And you might say, well, listen to these two crazy guys saying, don't be getting this. I mean, let's be safe about it. There's another very interesting thing, because I'm talking about somebody getting rich. There was actually an article that I read. This was probably a month, 2 months ago, of the 40 people who are now billionaires. They became billionaires because of COVID-19. 40 people now, billionaires, not millionaires, but billionaires, because they got in on the right time to start doing whatever. You know, I don't know if it was the production of masks. Most of it, I think, has to do with the vaccine. And you heard what Biden said. We never had a vaccine until I became president. You know, he's got to get some new writers. I mean, you know, if you're really just going to, or a new teleprompter guy, I don't know.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, yeah. the people that are having the vaccine reactions right now, to them, it's not funny. Not funny at all. And some of the things that people have reactions they've been having are more serious than just a little bit of local swelling. And, you know, there's been some people that literally just fallen over dead. Well, I guess they proved the point. I guess the vaccine's working, you see, according to
the you sure don't hear about that, do you? I got the shot, and I died before I got out of the hospital or something.
That's exactly right. You know, to date, probably the stats are a little bit advanced from February 5, but at that time, the vaccine injury database listed 10,700 injuries and 501 deaths. And experts traditionally say that represents only about 1% of actually what happened in America.
Really? Because
it's self-reporting database. You don't have to But statistically, then, if this is only 1% of adverse events, that means that there's been over 1 million injuries so far and perhaps as many as 50,000 deaths. This is just unacceptable in anybody's book.
Yeah, it's 1%, 501 deaths. Boy, think of the 501 families that are connected to the 501 deaths. That 1%, you know what they probably say about that? Wow.
Yeah.
And then, do you know for a fact, I mean, I've been reporting it as a fact because I read it so many other places, and I've never gotten a definitive, you know, yes, absolutely. But isn't it a fact that whenever you go into a hospital and you get diagnosed with COVID, that the hospital actually gets paid a certain amount of money from the government to handle the case?
Well, they most certainly do.
Whereas if it's a broken leg or hit by a motorcycle, you don't get that extra money.
That's exactly right.
Right.
And it escalates from there depending on the treatment that they give you.
Uh-huh.
If you end up on an intubation, then that's the kind of the big ka-ching.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In fact, Trump even said that. Don't put me on the machine no matter what.
I know.
Because people don't survive. And then one time he was doing a speech and he wouldn't say the word. I guess somebody said, stop mentioning that, you know, or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you there. You were getting ready to say something.
Well, somebody needs to take a real long look at what's going on with vaccine policy right now. And
the statistics, yes.
The statistics, yes, but you've
got... what I was talking about, do you get money, you know, and how long have people been dying after they got the vaccine, you know? I think right now that Johnson & Johnson is coming out with one and said something about it hasn't been fully tested yet. Seems like I saw this last night or the night before, Patrick. I'm not sure, but Johnson & Johnson, you know. But sometimes you hear names and you say, oh, yeah, I've heard about them. They're really good, Johnson & Johnson. Are you going to get a vaccine or are you going to wax your floor? You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah, there is a difference.
Yeah. Johnson & Johnson is one of the biggest vaccine makers in the world right now.
Uh-huh.
And all of these vaccines collectively now, none of them are approved by our FDA, not one.
Right. That's when you said that, it's something to think about. And you're talking to somebody right here that has not been vaccinated. And the stories I hear, I'm thinking, well, if I don't want to take a day off, but you'd probably have to take Monday off, Chuck, because you get the vaccine early Friday afternoon, okay? And, you know, who knows from what I'm hearing. And so many people talk about really being sick right after they take it. And then they'll say, well, yeah, but that's because, you know, you're getting a dose of it that makes you the herd community. You remember before when they wouldn't even mention herd community? They said Switzerland didn't know what they were doing, herd community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, they sure change their minds, right, when they're listening to Fossey.
That's right. Now that's all everybody wants to talk about, herd immunity.
Yeah.
Huh.
Wow.
So you have a lot of people today, and when employers have their employees line up for getting shots, they don't give them the shots on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. They have them line up for shots on Friday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
So they can get sick on their own time.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, that's the exact rationale I was using. You know,
yeah.
I'll do it on my own time because I know I'm not going to be able to come in, you know, with a 103 temperature.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Yep. And, you know, and it's really bad when you have people very close to you that are, you know, 100 degrees opposite of what you and I are talking about, you know. Nope. You know, that's like the little Goebbels, whoever he is now, got to him, you know.
Well, you know, I know that the people that have completely bought the farm, so to speak, on vaccines and all the other policies and stuff around it, some will suffer for their decisions. Others may not suffer. But in any case, can anybody argue that it's wrong to have a tested and validated vaccine before you shove it into 300 million people? This is just like off the rails. Of course you would. And yet, because of the emergency, and, you know, they needed to get it right away, whatever, so they railroaded these things through with emergency approval. And all of a sudden, there it is, all over the country, people are getting shot. They don't know what's really going to happen to them. They don't know what's in it. They don't know what the long-term effects are going to be. I say this is just lunacy, absolute lunacy.
Well, to me, it seems like, Patrick, that the one thing the vaccine is definitely working on, okay, on as far as success, is that for some reason we went from having 400 or 500,000 people a year dying from flu way down now, you know? Like, wow, the flu season just said, I'm not hanging around. I can't compete with COVID. Yeah, amazing, yeah. Huh?
No more flu. That is amazing. The flu map, the statistical reporting on the flu has just been wiped out.
And then it's like, you know, people, and I'm sure you get this from you, you know, a lot of times. I get it, you know, and I deserve it sometimes. But they'll say, you know, you got to be crazy. What the hell are you talking about? And I remember when I first saw the story, and it was reliable, it was a source that I trust, where the motorcycle guy that got killed on the motorcycle had died from COVID. That's what he was, you know, and it was a big joke. And so then it became like, is this really fact or fiction? And, you know, people that were really concerned got to the end of it, I mean to the bottom of it, and found out, yes, he did get killed from a motorcycle accident. But they say now that he had COVID in his system when they did the autopsy. So he was declared as COVID. So, of course, now they get that extra money, right?
And, that's right.
You know, and people say, you know, you're just absolutely crazy about it. But the thing is, sometimes you've got to, you know, you've got to sort of stop and say, let's take a second look at this, right? Let's just take a second look at this. I'll tell you. Hey, we've got about a minute before we have to take a break. I think a minute is, yeah. And I think what we'll do is we'll talk a little bit about your First Amendment, okay, when we come back after the break. And I do want to give you a heads up there, listener, if you get a chance. Mercola, the web of censors behind the censors. And Patrick Wood filed this story, and it was a bunch of research done by a guy named Joseph Mercola. I think that's his last name, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Anyway, it was the web of censors behind the censors. And I read the whole thing. I'm going to tell you, I could spend 2 hours talking about just this piece. So it'll be up to you, Patrick. It's your show. When we come back, we'll either talk about the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, and all that good stuff, or we'll talk about your latest book. It's up to you, sir. But by the way, here's your website there, folks. It's technocracy.news, T-E-C-H-N-O-C-R-A-C-Y, technocracy.news. Also, it's citizensforfreespeech.org, because Patrick is the executive director of Citizens for Free Speech. Be right back.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
When you invest, what do you need? Investors need foresight and prediction so they can invest with confidence. Is the stock market going up and down? What about precious metals or Bitcoin? The stock market may be treading water right now, but now may be a more opportune time to invest in precious metals. Are gold and silver booming? What do you buy? Bullion? Mining stocks? Which ones? The cryptocurrency market is also advancing strongly, but which ones do you buy? John Truman Wolf, former banker and number one best-selling author, gives you the answers in his widely read newsletter, Strategic Financial Intelligence, available at strategicfinancialintelligence.com. Wolf called the breakout of the gold market and the breakout of the silver market. He may not have a crystal ball, but his investment picks tell a story. Metals and digital currencies are on the move. Don't miss out. Go to strategicfinancialintelligence.com and get the Strategic Financial Intelligence newsletter today. Strategicfinancialintelligence.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, my guest Patrick Wood, editor-in-chief of Technocracy News, and that latest book is Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, and they can get that at technocracy.news. You have a link there?
That is correct, anywhere fine books are sold.
Yeah. You know, so what do you want to talk about now? On this... this thing about sensors behind the sensors. There was one thing here about where you it mentions. pardon me, Proposition 37. Yeah. And it was, they spent several million dollars, and it was for GMO labeling, where they were not telling you what was in their products, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Almost sounds like the injections we're getting. But anyway, you want to talk about your other organization there, Patrick, before we run out of time?
Well, I do. And this article that was written by Joseph McCullough is called Web of Sensors, Behind the Sensors. This is really part and parcel of Citizens for Free Speech. This is the problem. This is the endemic sickness that we're faced with right now, with this rampant, deep censorship of any story that doesn't fit the narrative that big tech wants to get out. So this story unveils the organizations behind the censors, like the Facebooks and the Twitter. That's not just them at this point.
Yeah. But and public relations also, you mentioned that they're getting paid to do their dirty work. Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. They're the ones that are out scouring the internet for any offense where an article says something that goes against the narrative. And if they find something, they take action to escalate it up the chain, get it killed, get it censored, get it canceled. And these companies are just – they're absolutely huge companies. They're not like just one-off, you know, two guys in a garage sort of thing. These companies like Publicis and NewsGuard, they're in every conceivable market in the world right now, looking for information to censor. That's their whole life. So we're facing an enemy here that is layers deep. And I don't think people are in touch with this at all. I think, well, you know, think, well, Twitter censored me. Boo-hoo.
Yeah.
Or Google dropped my post. Boo-hoo. But people need to understand how deep and how pervasive this censorship is.
And let me tell you, and yeah, to get it across, listeners, here's a quote here. I and others who question the safety and necessity of a COVID-19 vaccine may be prone to violent extremism. Yeah, don't be saying you can't get a shot.
Well, this is, of course, the threat. And for those people who they don't like, mm-hmm. for whatever opinion they have, like Mercola, they call them domestic extremists. Well, that just took care of that. Well, you can't have a domestic terrorist or extremist, you know, writing this stuff. Get rid of him. But it's absolute nonsense. It's just, it's label lynching is what it is. And it's absolutely false, complete false narrative.
Well, here's another thing that he writes, which makes a lot of sense if you wonder, how did it go crazy? He said the answer that industry came up with in the late 20th century was to combat truth in journalism, simply control the fourth estate, advertising dollars. Hey, there's that music. We got to run, Patrick. Patrick Wood. And remember, it's citizensforfreespeech.org, technocracy.news. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We'll be right back with Selwyn Duke.
50 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here with Tomas at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. So many ways to get us. Hey, let me tell you about my guest, the one and only Selwyn Duke. He's written for The New American, all right, and also a bunch of others. Hill, American Conservative, World Net Daily, American Thinker. But remember, The New America. And he has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning, appears on many television and frequent guest on radio shows. His website is selwynduke.com. And now, here he is. Yes, sir, Selwyn. There you are again, sir. There's your theme song. How you doing?
Oh, I hear that. I am doing okay, Chuck. I'm doing okay. You know, the last time I spoke to you, I was buried under the white stuff, and just yesterday we had some more snow. It's absolutely unbelievable. In fact, you know, with what's going on, Chuck, I'm at a point where I'm like an Alaskan native. I've got 50 words for snow. We've got the snow that buries your car, the snow that buries your car. We've got the snow that makes you slip and fall on your derriere. And then we've got the snow that buries your liberal neighbor, and that we call Patriot snow.
Ah, Patriot snow. Okay. Does that go
up
their nose?
I'm not going to go through the other 47 types of snow.
Yeah, does any of that go up their nose? That's what I want to know.
Well, I don't know if it's going to affect their thinking, but if it does, it'll only be an improvement, right?
Yeah, you know, Selwyn, I got to tell you, when Aho Cortez and all of the others, you know, and the new Green Deal and the stupid stuff they're talking about, you know, she says, this just goes to show you what global warming can do. Now, she shouldn't have even used, you know, the warming word. You know what I'm saying? But it's just, oh, unbelievable. And I, you know, these people are suffering, okay? Hey, I went through that. You know, they were showing pictures the other day of a city I worked in Texas, you know, and that was one of the hard ones hit. And I think I saw my 68 Ford that I couldn't find. I think it was sticking out somewhere there. But anyway, you know, and I've been through it, you know, and it was pretty bad a couple of times, one time particularly. But then it wasn't so much of the global warming, you know, it wasn't the really big deal wasn't going on like they're putting it on now. And it should be a wake-up call, especially when you see those frozen windmills. But they even have excuses for that. So, unbelievable.
I know. And they tell us that this cold weather itself is due to global warming because they have a great theory. You see, their theory cannot go wrong because if it gets warmer, it vindicates their theory. If it gets colder, they're also right in their theory. And if the weather becomes more volatile, they're right with their theory. So I guess the only way that their theory could ever be refuted is maybe if somehow the weather stays at this perfect level, if there is this perfect equilibrium in perpetuity, then maybe we could question their theory. Otherwise, nope, that's it. Signed, sealed, and delivered.
The other day they were even bringing up, oh, yeah, look at all the amount of hurricanes we had. More hurricanes. Global warming. Yes, okay. Fires in California. Global warming. Yeah. You know, and even when it makes sense. For example, the fires, you know, if you let all that dead wood build up and all that stuff, you know, but they don't want to hear it. They do not want to hear it. I'll tell you. Hey, you've got a lot of great articles here, and I want to get into this one here about Biden. This is going to shock you there, a lot of you, but apparently Biden discriminates against men. I'm just using part of the title here. Selwyn, Biden discriminates against men?
Well, let's say he certainly does in many ways. Now, my article is about his alma mater, the University of Delaware. But, of course, liberals have created this situation where we have politically correct discrimination now. And as I wrote in my article, you know, it's not just Joe Biden's sniffing schnoz that is preference for young females, Chuck. It's also his alma mater, like I said, the University of Delaware. And there is a lot of anti-male discrimination there. So, yes, we do have systemic discrimination in this country, but it's against groups such as men.
But well, you also, when you look at the title, though, see, that's what will get you, listener. Discriminates against men, except there is an exception to it. Those claiming to be women. And you say, Selwyn has finally started drinking. He's got some clever ones, but how's he going to wiggle out of this one? This is true. Stand by. Go ahead.
No, it is true. It is true. And this fellow, Kissel is his last name, Adam Kissel at The Federalist, wrote a very good article about this. And he was talking about how if you look at that school, the University of Delaware, and really it's just reflective of academia in general, you will see a very large number of scholarships and programs that overtly discriminate against men, where men simply need not apply. For instance, at the school's Alfred Lerner College of Business and Economics, it has 6 Title IX violations, that school alone. Now, Title IX, of course, is the federal legislation that forbids sex discrimination in education. Now, that's unconstitutional, that legislation, to begin with, but we'll put that aside. Anyway, so he mentions a few examples, this Kissel does, that the school runs an executive education program, Rise Up, and that's only for mid-career women, no men allowed. There's also female faculty connections. That's only for female faculty. Again, no men at all. That's just 2 examples right there. And by the way, also for $8,000, an organization, I'm quoting him now, can enroll a cohort of up to 10 women, no men allowed again, in WLIs, that's the School of Business New Women's Leadership Online Certificate Program. Now, how do men get out of this? Okay, well, we said that men, if they identify with women, are not going to be subject to this discrimination. So in other words, men that the less enlightened call transgender actually can benefit from these women-only programs. And interestingly, as we all probably know, Joe Biden just issued an executive order recently stating that these men who call themselves women must have access to women's spaces, women's sports teams, and everything that's supposedly reserved for women. So that would include these scholarships, these programs, the whole nine yards. But there are other examples in this school as well. Okay, for instance, here are some that Kissel outlines. Some discriminatory University of Delaware programs. They have an Ascend program. That's what it's called. They have an Advanced Women's Leadership at UD program. That's only for female faculty. They have a COVID-era program to help undergraduates adjust to college life, but only if those undergraduates are female.
Wow.
And they have, he writes, quote, University of Delaware's Advance Institute offers mini grants for women's leadership.
Hey, let me ask you something. There, whenever they have the the COVID-era program, and it says to adjust to college life, but only if they're female, like you're having a problem, are they admitting that that males have less problems adjusting to college life when they do that?
Well, I guess that's the implication, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, what's interesting about this, Chuck, is like I said, this is not unusual in academia. Mm-hmm. I mean, this Adam Kissel, he's citing the University of Delaware. And by the way, he has filed against the university a Title IX discrimination lawsuit.
Oh.
So we'll see how that goes. And this man does have a history in this business, if you want to call it that, because he's a former Deputy Assistant Secretary for Higher Education Programs at the U.S. Department of Education. But anyway, as I said, none of this is new, Chuck. Discrimination against men has long been status quo. But what's so ironic about it with respect to academia is that women have long outnumbered men in undergraduate education. In fact, that's been the case since 1982. A lot of people don't know that. Not only that, since the 1990s, Chuck, women have earned 57% of all bachelor's degrees. And in addition, as I pointed out in my piece, girls also have long been getting better grades in primary school and secondary education as well. So
now let me see, is this only at their college or overall you're talking about? Women in college. Okay, because I was saying, you know, if it was Biden's alma mater, you know, which one was it there, Virginia or whatever? Forgot already.
University of Delaware.
I was so close. Anyway, Delaware. well, if you're discriminating against men, no wonder there were more women. But maybe there's more women in college all over because more colleges discriminate against men, unless they have a good football team, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, there are many reasons for it. I mean, the truth is that, as I put it many, many years ago, boys tend to be outside-the-box people, girls inside-the-box people. And what I mean by that is that boys are more likely to beat their own path right or wrong, which is why most of the revolutionaries, for good or for ill, throughout history have been male, whereas girls are more likely to walk along society's prescribed path right or wrong. So oftentimes they do better in school following the program, if you know what I mean. But I'm digressing a little bit. But it's interesting because here's another fact from the Everything You Think You Know Is Not So file.
Uh-huh.
I also cited in my piece this 2019 global study that found that this anti-male discrimination is not just isolated to academia. In fact, it's not just isolated to the United States. This study found that men actually face more discrimination worldwide than women do. In fact, it found that men have it harder in 91 of 134 countries. And I know that that's very counterintuitive to many people, but that's what that study showed. And what I find interesting about this, Chuck, is what we see going on is that we're seeing a complete and total violation, not just of what the left used to profess to believe in equality, but also of their new kick, equity. Now, equity is this idea, it just justifies discrimination, that you're no longer treating people equally, but rather you're giving certain people a leg up, Chuck, so that everyone, supposedly, as Kamala Harris put it in a campaign commercial a long time ago, ends up, quote, in the same place. That's the idea, but that's not what's going on here, because what we see is, again, men are underrepresented in undergraduate education, boys are getting worse grades in schooling, Yet we don't see the liberals taking up the cudgel for males and saying, oh, well, we have to do something about this. We have to give all these poor guys a leg up. We don't see that at all. So really what this gets down to is what I've always said, which is that I don't believe that very many people who've thought about equality deeply actually believe in it. I don't believe that at all. What I think is, and this is appropriate because Rush Limbaugh just passed away, yeah, I think a lot of this just comes down to what he called get even with them-ism. That's what he said. He said, when you see all of these affirmative action programs, set-asides, quotas, this anti-male discrimination, discrimination against others, supposedly politically incorrect groups, this is not driven by compassion. This is not driven by really wanting to help people. This is driven by a desire for vengeance, by vindictiveness. And when I make this case, what I point out is, okay, this is why I say almost no one really believes in equality. When you look at people who complain about inequality, they never push for equality, like I just said. For instance, I cited this article from American Thinker, and you hear a lot of complaints about a lack of women in science, right, in engineering, right, in upper management positions. There aren't enough women CEOs, we hear. But no one's asking, I quoted this American Thinker, right, a quote, where are all the female garbage collectors, the female elevator technicians, the female landscape laborers, the female oil rig workers, unquote? Where are they? They're not in those fields, and the truth is that men tend to do the most dangerous, dirty jobs, and sometimes they're well compensated for that sometimes, and that's why men constitute 92% of workplace deaths. Wow. So we have a tremendous disparity there. But we don't
perfect time there, Selwyn. Yep, just hit that. There's that mark. Perfect timing. Like you've done it before. Yes. Selwyn Duke, the new American. And the website is selwynduke.com. We'll wrap this one up, and then we'll talk about how much do we really care about the Capitol anyway? I mean, think about it. All right, we'll be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
In recent years, evangelical Christians have been among the strongest supporters of the State of Israel, and now there's a controversial new documentary that takes a harsh look at that phenomenon. It's called Till Kingdom Come, available for rent on multiple streaming services.
Jerusalem is where Messiah will come and establish a kingdom that will never end.
We don't believe that Palestine is a place on God's map.
That's not evangelicalism. That's fact of history.
It's intriguing but infuriating to watch this film because it is so hopelessly one-sided. Taking a relentlessly cynical view of both the Christian and Jewish conservatives it profiles. Yes, some of the personalities come across vividly, but the lack of perspective makes Till Kingdom Come profoundly misleading. Not officially rated, but clearly not appropriate for kids. Till Kingdom Come earns only 1.5 stars.
This feature brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here with my guest Selwyn Duke, the new American. And we've been discussing Biden's alma mater discriminates against men, except those claiming to be women. And before we leave this one here, very interesting note you wrote in this one, Selwyn, that because we're running out of time there. But you say, here's another example. Why are we hear insistent complaints about women's lower pay in sports, acting, elsewhere? They do have a high-paying salary in one market area, don't they?
Yeah, well, absolutely. More than one, but a good example would be fashion models. Female fashion models make markedly more than their male counterparts, but we don't hear complaints about that. And that's something else I point out in my article, that when you hear these discrimination complaints and these calls for equality, it's always very one-sided, and the left looks at things tendentiously. It'll look at the areas where women might be earning less money or might be underrepresented, but it completely ignores the area where the situation is the reverse. But before the break, I was talking about how few people who've thought equality through thoroughly really believe in it. Mm-hmm. And here's another good example, Chuck. I remember years ago, there was this debate about equal pay in tennis tournaments for the tennis professionals, oh, yeah, right? And women eventually got equal pay at the U.S. Open. Well, there was the head of the Women's Tennis Association who was a female, although if she had been a male, she would have been lobbying in the same way. And she was making the case that women should get equal prize money. And it was pointed out to her, but wait a second. The men at the major tournaments play 3 out of 5 sets. The women only play 2 out of 3 sets. Why are you not striving for equality in that area as well? And her answer basically was, well, if some people care about that, or if the men care about that, then that's something they can push for. And that is the point. Now, some people might say, well, wait a second, though. It's her job to get a better deal for the people who she represents, namely the female players. But that's precisely my point. Her goal was not equality. She was simply using an equality argument in order to try to advance her agenda, in her case, quite understandably. And that's what you always see with respect to these equality arguments. The feminists might inveigh against certain situations or certain traditions that, let's say, favor men, but they never argue against the male-only draft, do they? No, it's like that female writer I quoted earlier said, you know, no one complains, well, where are all the female elevator operators or oil rig workers or right, lumberjacks? No. I mean, the feminists only complain when it's some prize position that can be had. So what I say in my article is, and I've been trying to pound this message home for years, is we have to understand equality, the calls for it, they don't reflect principle. They reflect ploy. That's what they are. And that term, equality, should be relegated to mathematics. We shouldn't use it to apply to people. The sooner we relegate it to mathematics and sociology, the better off we'll be. Now, some people might say, wait a second, though. If you do that, how do you ensure justice in society, that things will be fair? Well, it's very simple. Equality is basically a very, very new concept as applied to human beings. It really took root with the so-called Enlightenment between 1685 and 1815. What did we do before then? Well, we stressed what we should stress, the virtues. You stress virtues such as justice, such as charity, such as kindness. Virtues such as those. If you do that, you will be just with people. But equality is a ridiculous measure because, as I've just illustrated, we don't really want it, and we don't really want it. I mean, do people want their daughters to be drafted the same way their sons might be drafted? Or we see now with this whole, quote, transgender argument, Chuck, we see all these boys masquerading as girls entering women's sports. But think about it. If you have equality or if you believe in equality, why should you complain about that? Well, if the sexes are equal, just let them all compete together and let the cream rise to the top. So do we really want equality? No, equality is a ridiculous measure. It's completely unattainable. There's a reason why you don't see equality in nature. I mean, different species are very different. Some have greater survivability and adaptability than others. You even see variation within species. Some members are stronger than others. That's the way it is. We have to get back to the virtues and forget about this socialistic nonsense, part of which is equality dogma.
All right, coming up on that break, and you know, when you talk about trying to be equal, you know, like playing tennis and all that stuff, when the men demanded, you know, hey, I want to be able to do what the women are doing, when it came to the fashion industry and the models, now there's the one that really gets to you right there. They're playing on an equal field, right? Those men models are wearing the women's dresses. All right, fantastic. Selwyn Duke, it's Selwyn Duke. com. And we're going to talk about how much the capital, what does it really mean anyway, you know? That's coming up in just a moment.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flare, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come. And they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder, with my guest, Selwyn Duke from The New American. Let's go to the January 6th riot. Okay, thank you there. The January 6th riot, and how much we really care about the Capitol anyway, Selwyn.
Yeah, well, I thought we were going to talk about snow, Chuck, because, never mind.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wrote this piece about the January 6th riot because a lot of things have been said about it, but the coverage of it has been absolutely overwrought, as you know. You'll hear, oh, it's like Pearl Harbor, it's like 9/11, oh my, the humanity, it's like the fellow at the Hindenburg, except that was a real disaster. And, you know, I pointed out, well, we've called this coverage many things, characterized it in many ways as hypocritical, politically expedient, demagogic, deceitful, or just plain dumb, but there's something else it is that really has not been pointed out enough, and that's that it's insulting and offensive. And it really reflects, Chuck, a very snobbish, pseudo-elite way of looking at the world. And I'm going to explain why. And I'm going to start this out by quoting one Sarah Lilly at American Thinker, because she put this very, very well. She wrote, quote, "Pardon, but why should I now be outraged by violence when it was celebrated by the same news media only a few months ago? Isn't rioting the language of the unheard? Why must I mourn the loss of life on January 6th more than that of David Dorn or Oscar Lee Stewart Stallworth Jr., the man who was burned beyond recognition in a Minneapolis pawn shop? Why is the January 6th riot wrong, but burning a Wendy's to the ground is a befitting form of social justice?" Unquote. Why? Why? And that's absolutely correct. You know, and Joe Scarborough recently, who's in the media now, he used to be a pseudo-Republican congressman, he said, quote, "I'm not going to confuse a taco stand with the United States Capitol." Well, think about that statement. Why? What does that tell you? Well, his attitude, Chuck, is not uncommon among pseudo-elites, because for one thing, it's easy to be idealistic when you don't have to live with your ideals. But for another thing, these are the people who are truly privileged in our society. No, it's not white people with mythical white privilege. It's these pseudo-elites, the left-wing ones, and they are absolutely content having one set of standards for themselves and a completely different one for the rest of us. And I point out in my article a great example. I think a lot of people forgot about this, but this was during the riots last year. You'll love this. Former ESPN reporter, his name is Chris Palmer. He actually tweeted a picture of a burning building last year, Chuck, and he wrote, "Burn that blank down." He said something vulgar. "Burn it all down." All right. But then what happened? Mere days later, he changed his tune. And why? Because violent left-wing rioters visited his neighborhood. And then he tweeted, quote, "Get these animals the blank out of my neighborhood. Go back to where you live." Now, by the way, when he was all for the rioting and he showed that picture of the burning building, you know what that building was? That was an affordable housing development under construction, something that the people who he would claim to care about really need. Okay. But anyway, let's get back to Joe Scarborough's statement. You know, he said, well, I'm not going to confuse the Capitol building with a taco stand. And, you know, this American Thinker writer I cited, she asked, well, actually, maybe we should care more about the taco stand. She wrote, "Does the taco stand condemn our sons to death in the Middle East? Does the taco stand bomb civilians in faraway lands? Does it create economic policy that reduces one's ability to work in a taco stand?" Does it create regulations that make everyday items more expensive for the average civilian, unquote? And, you know, the whole thing is this. Look, I point out that we should have, ideally, respect for our institutions. That includes our Congress. But this becomes a lot harder, Chuck, when the people occupying those institutions aren't respectable. To get respect, you have to be respectable. And the same thing, by the way, applies to parents and children. And a prerequisite for respectability is respect has to go both ways. Those who we entrust with power have to understand that they're public servants. They're not our masters, okay? But what attitude are we seeing when we see all of these pseudo-elites get all upset because the palace's walls were breached on January 6th, even though for months and months they treated the rape of the countryside, and that's what it was, as completely inconsequential? What attitude does that reflect? It's disgusting. That is a pseudo-elite attitude. And I know many times when left-wingers and people in the media, when politicians complain about this, yes, it's just driven by political expediency. I know that. But insofar as they mean it, it absolutely reflects this snobbish pseudo-elite attitude. And remember, there's no comparison between what happened during the past year's 600 violent left-wing riots, that's the approximate number, and the one Capitol event. I mean, Chuck, we had deaths during both, but all of the deaths, except one, as far as we know, during the Capitol event, were due to medical emergencies. And the only person where that wasn't the case was poor Ashley Babbitt, who was shot by a police officer. And we still don't know all that much about that little incident.
And, of course, Owen, you do know about the police officer that the Dems, you know, had lying in state and all of the huge funeral possessions and all that, smashed in the head with a fire extinguisher, all made up by the New York Times and the Democrats pushing about how it's Trump's fault and he's responsible for that police officer dying, you know. And then finally, you know, just recently, they had to backtrack their story. No, it wasn't true. He actually was talking to his brother 2 hours after the Capitol had been cleared out and apparently died of a stroke. But you know what?
Yeah,
and they say that's why they didn't call witnesses. The Democrats didn't want to call witnesses at the impeachment trial because that would have been brought up. I'm telling you, boy, it is the things they hide and get away with, the double standards, Selwyn. But go ahead.
Well, no, it's disgusting. Yes, that's Officer Sicknick. He died of a stroke, and that's tragic, by the way. You know, it's always tragic when people die, but these were medical emergencies. And what's so disgusting about this is that the media, Chuck, use these lies to divide us and to try to help the Democrats gain more power. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, and that stroke wasn't equal, okay, to Pearl Harbor or 9/11. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I mean, that's the bottom line. And,
yeah.
You know, putting that aside, though, okay, so we had more deaths during the 600 violent left-wing riots. What else happened? Well, aside from that, at the Capitol, we had some broken glass, and we had a holdup in formalizing Joe Biden's so-called victory. And we have to admit, Chuck, that could have delayed many senators' dinner plans, right? It absolutely could have.
Yes.
But as I put it, listen, they all emerged unscathed, and they're able to continue their lives of power, pocketbook, privilege, pomp, and perks. So we're supposed to feel sorry for these people? This is how disgusting it is, and this is why I call it offensive. And despite not only that, we have to remember, okay, these politicians, many of them, are the ones who winked at these left-wing riots for months. Often they encouraged them. And then you have people such as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who did that very thing. And despite that, she then, after the January 6th riot, had the nerve to go on social media and start pouting about how traumatized she was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, absolutely unbelievable. And let me just give you some specificity as to what she did. Ocasio-Cortez, she was the woman who said in 2019 that marginalized people have, quote, no choice but to riot, unquote, to combat, quote, injustice. She also said last year that, quote, the whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable, okay? This is also the same Ocasio-Cortez, Chuck, who wouldn't condemn a violent 2020 Antifa attack on an ICE facility. She wouldn't do it. But then, like I said, She has the nerve to complain publicly, talking about how traumatized she was on January 6th.
Thought she was going to be raped. You know, it was her life was right on the and that's why whenever I used to just call her Aho Cortez, and now it's Orquez. Wait a minute. Yeah. Anyway, Smollett. You know, remember him, Jussie Smollett?
Yeah.
I now call her Ocasio Smollett Cortez. There it is. All right.
Yeah. But
and gets away with it. You know, no big deal. She should be censored and kicked out of the office. But oh no. Go ahead.
No,
sorry.
She should be. And no, that's quite all right. That's quite right. No, that's why when I view this, when I look at her, well, first of all, it's like I'm seeing a little girl playing a role meant for an adult. That's the first thing. But it's just so narcissistic. It's unbelievable. She couldn't care less about the thousands of businesses, literally, that were destroyed during the riots that she encouraged. She couldn't care less about all the lives that were destroyed. There are people who can't make a living anymore because of what she encouraged. And she's not alone. And that's why, as I say in my piece, you know what? I don't even care about whether or not she was exaggerating her trauma during the Capitol Hill event. You know, that became a main point of contention. That's not my concern. Because as they say, you know, well, my toothache is always worse than your toothache, right? No, the point is, again, about offensiveness, okay? That these people would do what they've done and then act as if somehow we should get all bent out of shape because their capital was attacked a little bit, even though nothing too much came of it. And by the way, that was wrong. That shouldn't have happened. There's no doubt about it. But as I put in my article, this is just the epitome of a pseudo-elite let-them-eat-cake attitude. It really is. As I also put it, I mean, they created this Godzilla. They birthed him, and he went about the countryside immolating swaths of America. And then finally, he slightly brushed them, right? Okay, what? Should Main Street now cry them a river? Is that what should happen? And we should be emphasizing, Chuck, this point of things, because enough is enough. It matters what happens to the everyday people who were absolutely assailed with these ridiculous COVID regulations, okay? That destroyed their businesses. That hurt their families. Then on top of it, you have all the riots we've been talking about. That was another shot in the gut. It's absolutely unbelievable.
You know, Selwyn, excellent article. And if I'd had my ESP working and I knew you were going to do this, I would have sent you a little thing that that I'd love to throw in when it comes to the January 6th equal to 9/11, blah, 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 you know. And that is the, pardon me, 1983 bombing of the North Wing of the U.S. Capitol. You don't hear about that on any of those news reports. The left-wing terror group was headed by Susan Rosenberg. Her sentence, by the way, was commuted by President Bill Clinton. And she has now got a job as administrator for Black Lives Matter. And they shouted whenever they bombed the Capitol in 1983 that they wanted to kill as many Republicans as possible. And all the dirty words they threw in there when they talked about Republicans, the F words and whatever, that wasn't thrown into the thing I have typed up. But 1983, the bombing, you know, and you hear, first time the Capitol's ever been bombed. Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's the liberal privilege I've been talking about.
Yeah.
I mean,
double standard.
You have these left-wingers who do these reprehensible, evil things, and yet nothing comes of it. And they're allowed to become prominent individuals making money via our system.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Ayers is another example, right?
Oh,
he used to be part of the Weather Underground.
Yeah.
He's a terrorist. And even though he was involved in trying to perpetrate violence, he got off. And he even said, what did he say? Something free as a bird. He was boasting about how he got off. Then what did he end up doing as an older college professor?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he ended up committing violence of a different kind against the minds and hearts and souls of our children because he was helping to devise curricula. I mean, that's the position he was given. But if you're a person on the so-called right and you say boo, you get canceled. It's unbelievable. And by
was
the way,
he was he the gentleman? You hear that word I use, gentleman. Was he the gentleman that was holding the rallies in his home for Barack Obama?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Fundraisers and whatnot.
Fundraisers.
Absolutely.
Hey,
and,
listen,
you know, maybe
we got, yeah, we got about a minute and a half before we have to take a break. Actually, I think it's, yeah. Anyway, this is one listener that you've got to hear, okay? There is a woman that actually the police were called on her because she told an anti-mask joke. That's right. You talk about taking COVID to the next extreme, right? COVID communism. Woman gets late night police visit for telling anti-mask joke. All right. So let me see here. Yeah, I think I've got a minute exactly. So let's get into this one here, shall we?
Yeah, no, I mean, as you described it, it's unbelievable because,
yeah.
Chuck, we usually don't associate late-night police visits for unapproved speech with our country, the United States, right? At least we never used to. But that's exactly what happened to this mother of three. Her name is Angelique Contreras. She's a Florida beautician. And all she did was make an innocent anti-mask joke on Facebook. And not only that, Chuck, we have video of the encounter, thank God, so no one can say, oh, well, she's probably just making it up.
Yeah.
But anyway, what sparked, I know we don't have much time, what sparked the exchange on social media that got her in, quote, trouble is a Palm Beach County plan, this was in Palm Beach County, Florida, to put citizens who wish to attend county commission meetings and are medically exempt from mask wearing in a separate building. So then, in other words, they can't address their leaders directly. So that's what sparked the exchange. And Contreras, the woman, she was interacting with this man on Facebook, and they didn't appreciate the policy. And the man said, jokingly, he'd like to dump garbage on a county administrator's lawn.
Wait a minute.
This,
wait a
woman,
minute. Would you just repeat that part here before we get in that break?
Yeah.
I honestly want to leave hundreds of bags of garbage on her lawn? Oh.
Yeah.
Boy, we'll figure out how many whips she's going to get. You know, they'd probably, if they went back to switching, you know, what was it called? You know, the old dungeon days? Hitting them with a whip? There's a whole new class of people that would probably commit whipping laws. Wouldn't have surprised me.
Yeah.
Selwyn Duke, the new American. And the website is Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling, the complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as one day, and for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as one day. Large or small bathrooms, if you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as one day. And if you call right now, you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
855-525-7454. 855-525-7454. That's 855-525-7454.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, the new American. COVID communism. Woman gets late night police visit for telling an anti-mask joke. And once again, who turned her in, Selwyn?
Well, that's a good question. We really don't know. I would suspect that it was maybe the county official that they were talking about when they were saying they'd like to dump garbage on his lawn. Of course, they were speaking in jest. So let's go through this again. This woman, Angelique Contreras, is talking on Facebook, private conversation with a friend. And they're upset about this policy that the county has instituted where if you're at a county meeting and you're there as a citizen and you're not willing to wear a mask, you've got a medical exemption, you've got to be in a separate room so that you can't address your public officials directly. Okay, so the man quipped completely in jest, and we've seen the social media posts, so we know this is true, that he'd like to dump garbage on a county administrator's lawn. And to this, the woman, Contreras, responded, again, also in jest, thousands of masks, right? That was all that was said. Well, anyway, this is what happened. Get this. Sometime after that, Chuck, at 10:30 at night on February 12th, Contreras hears a knock on her door. What is that? Okay, she's putting her children to bed. They're ages 3, 11, and 1. And she opens the door, and she sees there a detective from the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. He identified himself as Detective Horton. H-O-R-T-O-N. I think everyone should know his name, given how he behaved. And he told Contreras that they'd examined her social media posts, and he warned her that trespassing and, quote, dumping garbage on people's property is a crime. So don't do it. Okay? Over this joke.
They say, who sent you? Zuckerberg. Who? Zuckerberg. Oh, I don't know him. Okay. Facebook.
Yeah. So wow. Let me point out here, to give you a little background, that Palm Beach County is a very liberal area, and this Contreras obviously is not a liberal, so she probably is in disfavor with the local officials, I would imagine. You know,
Facebook
I know we don't
friends.
Have too much time.
Yeah.
But
Facebook
let
friends,
me just say
right?
that, yeah. This is not unprecedented. I point out in my article that actually in 2013 there was a Texas teen who made a relatively innocent joke online, and he was actually arrested and charged with a crime. And as far as I know, his case is still pending. He spent a very long time in jail over something that was obviously a joke. Yeah. This is not a joke.
Justin
this is
Carter.
Not supposed to be happening in the United States. And Angelique Contreras, her family came from Cuba. She said she knows what it's like to be living under communism, and that's what we're gravitating towards. That's the warning she issued.
Well, Justin Carter, you said his bail was so high he ended up spending 5 months in prison. Yeah, Texas, Florida. Ooh, do those states kind of ring a bell, a lot of attention? I'm not talking about snow either. No, I'm talking about states that seem to be doing pretty well, especially Florida. You know, there's never, ever going to be a law against one thing, though, I guarantee you. And I bet you can't guess what it is, Selwyn.
Well, liberal insanity, that's my guess.
You got it. It's called sniffing hair. Sniffing hair. Okay. All right. On that note, we'll release Selwyn until another time and look forward to our next visit, Mr. Duke. Thank you very much.
Happy snow days and God bless.
All right. Selwyn Duke, the new American. and get all his excellent stories at SelwynDuke.com. Thank you very much, Tomas. Appreciate it today. And let's see. Oh, yes, I thought I saw an eye doctor on an Alaskan island. But it just turned out to be an optical illusion.